The Once have just come off the stage at the Hillside Festival. They were on the Lake Stage, had an absolutely fabulous performance. It's my great pleasure to welcome them to Folk Roots Radio today. That's Phil Churchill, Geraldine Hollett, and Andrew Dale. We did this, guys, I think about 4 years ago at Mariposa, something like
crazy.
That.
Crazy. Yeah, it would have been 4 years. Wow.
And a lot's happened since then from your point of view.
A couple of world tours, yeah. A couple records, three records since then. Yeah, we've been steady go. I'm gonna go to bed now after next week, I think.
Three records. We ended up meeting a guy, lovely fella by the name of Mike Rosenberg. Passenger is his stage name, and he has blown up and become a major international star, and he was kind enough to let us record a couple albums with him, and we toured the world And then we did our own little 2-month world tour. And so it's been about 9 months of the last year, just steady belt touring our latest record. So,
and that was,
how have you been the last 4 years?
Great. I've been following the career of people like the ones. And you've been doing pretty good because you now have what? You released your third album, your third regular album, which is Departures. And that's on Network Records now.
Yeah.
You were on Borealis
for the first two.
Tell us about the changeover.
It happened because of the Passenger thing. He was on the same label as them, and he pushed us onto them a little bit, and they were eager because of the new album to have us. So then, and our time was up with Borealis. Like, you know how they, like, you have a contract for a certain amount of time. So yeah, so
yeah, it was two albums, and those were the first two, and then we released a third one, that Christmas one, independent. And then, so we're just kind of floating around, and opportunity came up with Network, and there you go.
So tell us about the latest album. That's Departures. I think it came out in May of 2014. Tell us a little bit about that album.
Yeah, well, I think we were almost still working on it then. We got our first copies of it on August 2nd, 2014, in Atlanta, Georgia, on the first show of the Passenger World Tour. So we did... 7 weeks down there with that thing. And it's, I absolutely adore this record. All three of us adore it. It's the natural progression of any band, I suppose, to kind of, if you've started off playing traditional music, or if you started off playing, you know, eventually you kind of put a bit more of yourself onto that record. And for us, I mean, we didn't even intend to start a band. You know, we all just had the same summer job. We were all working together and hanging around, and made the first record that went well. And as it kept going, the conversation starts coming up about, well, what are we actually doing? What are we? What do we want to be doing? We've got a career now. We're getting invited to play places. We've got a following. What do we want to do with this? And it turns out, not only just being, you know, interpreters of traditional music and you know, liking doing a good cover or two, we're three songwriters. I even view us as a band differently than when we first started. I see it as we're three songwriters in one band together, and it's just been a really super organic, natural progression, but it hasn't stopped, nor does it seem to be stopping. Oh, look at this. There's
it's
a parade. I don't know if you can hear that, but there's a good one. Yeah, so that's where we've gone with that. So, of course, it's very different, still love singing what Leonard Cohen thought about a particular thing and on a particular year, you know, and to be able to have our own opportunity to say, like, well, this happened to us, you know, something from Geraldine's past, or, you know, somebody close to us dies, and we're able to kind of have an honest, portal for that through something we've already established with the previous records.
I mean, you wrote a song, Fill Yourself, I think, about the passing of your father. And that was a dozen years ago. And it's interesting when you read the story about this actually turning out to be a cathartic experience for you.
Yeah, and, you know, it's funny because when you're in, you know, what the... I mean, it's still the same band, right? I mean, it never really, really changes. But in terms of what we think we're able to do and what we were doing in the past, it has changed a little bit. Because I think before, we weren't really sure if there was any room for us in our music. You know, because that's what happens. You start to play a bunch of festivals and you play a lot of areas and, you know, you get signed up for you show up to a festival and it's like, it's a Celtic festival. Oh, okay, well, I guess this weekend we're really Celtic, so let's play this song and this song and this song. And then you go to a bluegrass one and you go, okay, well, I guess this weekend we got to be bluegrass, so let's play everything a little different or a little faster. And it takes a while before you realize, it's like, no, wait a second. We are whatever we want to be. If we have certain things that we want to say, or certain things that we want to play, or a certain style, or we go ahead and do that. And if it fits in with, you know, the kind of festivals, the kind of shows that people want us to play at, then good. But ultimately, you know, it's that journey to becoming a real band, you know, like everybody else.
It's stressful being a chameleon when you're a human being. So we just stopped.
What do you mean by that?
Well, exactly what you said.
Thank you.
Did you think that in the previous guys, or if we can call it that, did you think maybe that there was a sort of feeling that, well, we'll do this for a few years and then maybe we'll drift off and want to do other things because maybe we weren't able to bring enough of ourselves to the band?
I think we struggled with that all the time.
Because, I mean, you met through theater, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it was a theater production and that brought the three of you together. And I know when we talked before, I think it was, well, this seems pretty, you know, fun at the time. We're having...
Yeah, I mean, album one was was the mindset. You know, before we even made that first album, we were absolutely looking at it as a hobby, sort of back burner project type of thing. And we weren't really pursuing it, you know, that seriously, really. It was something that, you know, we'd play a gig here and there and have a bit of fun and that'll be it. And then, you know, we had that anonymous donation there at the Folk Harbor Festival in Lunenburg, Nova Scotia, and which sort of was a bit of a wake-up call. You know, that was, I guess, the initial wake-up call. You know, complete stranger just randomly believing in us enough to go out and make a record. Which, I mean, and obviously at that point, the songwriters in all of us hadn't really blossomed very much. I mean, it was very much a, what do we know? Let's record that. And then if you look at each album, there's definitely growth and development in the songwriters, you know, within each of us, and the confidence as well. You know, from the first album, which is pretty much traditional and covers with a tiny bit of originality in there, you know, beyond just the arrangements, of course. Second album, Row Upon Row, there's glimpses of the songwriters starting to emerge, you know. And then, funny enough, when we made our third album, which was actually a Christmas album, which we're still super happy with and super proud of, because we basically approached it like the third album by the Once, and not just, okay, let's make a Christmas album and throw, you know, Frosty and Rudolph and, you know, all the familiar faces on there. We actually wrote songs.
I love those songs, by the way.
They're fine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We wrote songs that actually meant something to us. And, you know, I wrote a song on there, The Light in Your Window, which was because we had spent the previous Christmas away from home. Far away from home. We were down in Australia. We were at this festival in Woodford. And it was Christmas time. And that song was about, you know, being away from the person you love, being away from, you know, family, whatever, at that time of year. So, you know, a very personal kind of subject, right? And then from there, I mean, it was a very natural transition when we went into Departures and we started kind of writing songs that were very personal and really meant something to us, you know. So, like, it's when people look at, I think, when people look at us and look at the early material and think, you know, traditional band, folk band, whatever, you know, oh, yeah, they do really cool covers and all that stuff. And sure, yeah, we do that and we enjoy doing that. But there's been a very natural progression from album one to album four in the three of us as songwriters, the three of us as a unified band, you know. So I think the next album is going to be even more exciting. You know, the next, you know, the next songs that are already happening, you know, the stuff that you're going to hear coming up in the not so distant future is going to be just continuing the development and the evolution of the Once.
Keeps it more interesting for sure. Keeps us wanting to stay in it. I to go back to your question, like, yeah, how many times do we say in 2 years that'll be it? No, we're not going to do this after 2 years. All right, we're giving this another year. That's it. We said it a lot of times, but now that we're more focused on our own psyche, keeps it interesting. Like, I, right now, even from looking at the last album, I can tell Phil writes about things outer-worldly. I write more country, and you write, Andrew writes about being away and missing. Like, I'm already seeing who we are and our themes. I'm really curious to see what's going to happen, actually.
And she means, when I say
around for two more years,
otherworldly, she means, you know, kind of poetic and ethereal, poetic. Not about space.
Can you write a song about space? Because
absolutely.
So I'm not a liar right now. Can you please?
Ethereal, poetic song about space.
That'd be cool. Thanks.
Well, you know, one of the interesting things about seeing you live is how much fun you have on stage. I mean, obviously very natural together. It's fascinating to have the conversation because I do hear very much you saying, well, look, you know, we really felt we needed to bring more of ourselves into our records. At the same time, one of the things that the audience does love is when you do a cover, and on the new album you've got a cover of Can't Help Falling in Love, which everybody loves.
Good.
And we're, and you know, and we do that because we love it too. We love we love doing that, but you know, there is also that difficulty and danger in it. We actually had this conversation on when we were making Departures, is that we were writing at the top of our game. The arrangements we were absolutely thrilled with. The style of music was stuff we wanted to listen to. And we talked about whether to put a cover on it or not. And part of that reason being, if we do, it'll be something we really love. We'll work hard on the arrangement. We'll make it something super fun. And it's probably going to be the only thing that ends up getting played, because we know we've gone down that road in the past. That I, you know, when I hear us on the radio, if I didn't know, I would think that it's just a cover band who takes songs and just plays acoustic versions of them, you know. And even though that's something that we love doing, this was almost a bit of a test on Departures. It's like, all right, we're gonna write our asses off here, make the best possible album we can make, have be as truthful as we possibly can be, stretch out in every other way. We'll pop a cover one on there and we'll see what happens. And exactly that happened, you know. And we love the fact that people love that stuff. We love it. It's the whole reason we got together. But it's
not
weird.
Why we're still around. Sorry? But it's not why we're still around.
Well, but it's that trade-off,
right?
Because
it is.
You know, if I was booking you for a festival, I mean, yeah, I want you to play that song because we know that it'll connect with those people.
Absolutely.
That may not, you know, may know that you're a really good band. They've probably never seen you. They probably don't have any of your records at this point. But that might be the get you in.
Yeah.
The interesting thing is also then maybe that's the opportunity to say, well, you know, here are some songs that we've written.
Yeah. This is the bait and switch. This is something we learned from this our friend Passenger, Mike Rosenberg, who is truly one of the greatest. I'm going to speak even closer. The drums. I love the intensity it seems to give me, though. My voice just kind of dropped and got. And he was a busker, right? I mean, he's ultra world famous now. He just did like 3 days at Wembley Stadium with his friend Ed Sheeran. So I mean, he is truly global, massive superstar, you know. But he was a busker for 10 years. So I find it really fun to think that most of the people now who are his super fans and waiting in line for hours are also the people who walked past him in his hometown for years and didn't notice, right? But he would always talk about the bait and switch, that he knows an endless amount of really beautiful, very personal covers, and still does them at his shows, but it was always just to kind of draw people in with that song and then hit them with one of your own. And he said, that's the crux of busking, you know, that's what you do to make it work. And festivals, I mean, really, a festival is busking with better gear. You know, right? Decent sound.
A really important issue, because when you think about the situation on the Passenger tour, when you're the support act, compared to in Canada now, where you're regarded as being a headline act, that if you're on tour, the people are going to be being lined up to support you. It must make it quite different if you're going to have like, what, 20, 30 minutes in front of an audience to try and make an impression.
Oh yeah, but we would do that song.
Yeah.
Yeah, we threw.
Yeah,
that
and
song
it worked. You know, so I mean, you're 100% right in that way. And for the longest time, and what we would do on that tour is, even though it's an opening set, and you know, these Passenger shows, the Europe and the America and the UK and Australia, these are not sit down like you would think in your mind. It's a busker. It's one guy on his own with an acoustic guitar, and that's what it is. But it's him in front of 8,000 people, and they're standing and they're screaming. It's like if you looked at the crowd and took a photo of that, you would think they're watching you too.
One guy.
But then you turn the camera the other way, and you just see one guy with a guitar on stage. So because of that, you know, you got these screaming rooms full of people, and we would open singing a quiet a cappella song just to sort of, you know, exactly what you're talking about. It's that, what is that calling card? What is that thing that makes people listen to you? And for us, it's and I think for anybody who does what we do, it's towing that line between the absolute respect for the things that we do that get people to listen and the frustration of wanting to move beyond that. And really, the best thing you could have is a bit of both. It's perfect to be able to kind of, you know, change for whatever situation that you need. And when you're kind of, I guess, as hungry as we are about what it is that we're doing and as passionate about our own music, we just kind of want to fast forward to the point that we get that same reaction from our own music as we get from, you know, a cover or like, you know, a nice acapella thing, you know. And it's super interesting, weird kind of thing to do. It's almost that sometimes I see the shows as a little bit of a jack of all trades, master of none sort of thing. It's like such a broad spectrum that we run. Sometimes I think, oh, maybe we should drop some of this stuff and just focus on this one thing, and then go, no, well, then we wouldn't want to do this anymore. Then that wouldn't be us. So part and parcel with kind of doing your own thing and discovering what that thing is you have to stick to it, you know, and everything that you do has to get the same amount of time and the same amount of respect. And you just hope that there's enough people in the 7 billion people on the planet that you're going to be able to fill a bunch of big rooms with like-minded folks who want a little bit of everything, you know?
Well, certainly I think we saw that today in the festival, and you've just come from a signing session, and obviously from any band's point of view, if you're on the road, you do want to try and shift as much product as you can when you're playing. So it's always great to, you know, you get that connection with the audience, and then people will you know, pick up your stuff and take it home.
Well, you know, I pointed it out during our set today. I mean, you know, Fred Penner was playing earlier on the Island stage with the place was completely packed, you know, and like up singing and clapping along and like so engaged, smiles everywhere, so into it. And then going over, you know, Mo Kenny played on the Lake stage before us, and rocking out like 3-piece, like full on rock band, slaying it. Place was totally packed, people totally into it, like jumping on their feet, man, at the end, like just cheering her on. That's all happening, you know, like 100 feet, you know, like, you know, between stages, you know, and like that's the kind of place that we're in here right now. So I think we're in good company. I think we're at a kind of place where people are going to get it.
You raise an interesting issue. Is there ever going to be a children's album from the Once? I could see
children's
you doing a good children's album.
If Fred Penner wants to do it, we'll do
it. Absolutely. We just did a backing for Bob's and Lola. We met them at the Junos. We were sat at a table together, and we ended up doing some backing vocals for them. Yeah, we've talked about it.
Yeah.
It might be our swan song, but we've talked about it.
No. The beginning of it, man.
Keep an eye out for our children's album. It'll be the last one you ever hear.
Well, I mean, look at Bare Naked Ladies and stuff, like what they've managed to do with, you know, kids' music and stuff. There's amazing stuff you can do.
There is a
genre,
lot of natural
right?
humor that comes in.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you come from the East Coast, from Newfoundland. Your storytelling is wonderful. I really love the idea that you're able to, you know, weave in some personal songs and some personal story songs, as well as the other songs on the album and,
well,
you know,
stuff,
the old cover.
I mean, it's all what you make it anyway, too.
Right.
I mean, if you go, would you ever do a Christmas album? Immediately, we all put a Christmas album in our mind, or a kid's album, and we always put, you know, you put that kid's album in your mind, and you imagine what that's going to be, or a Christmas album, you imagine what that is. When what you really need to do is not think about that at all. Think about, well, what would your Christmas album be? Or what would your kids' album be if you went to make it? And it might not sound like anything we ever grew up with. It might sound...
I have some kids' songs, by the way, if you ever want to... Some children's
all
songs.
All right. So then, yes.
We may have started something new. I wanted to thank you for spending the time to talk to us today. If people want to learn more about The Once, how can they do that?
Well, we're online. We're like Twitter and Facebook. We've made it easy. It's just The Once Band, and then theonce.ca for everything. Honestly, for me, that's where I know where I'm playing next, is at our website.
And so people will be able to catch you on the festival scene
at
for
the
rest of the tour.
This year, we're doing Canmore, and we got Edmonton Folk Festival, and in the middle, we're going to Medicine Hat. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
It's not a festival.
No,
do you have
just
do, you,
it's
do you have a fall and winter tour planned at all?
You can't talk about it right now.
Yeah,
it's
stay tuned.
We just said yes plans. To something, but we were not allowed to bring it up. But yes, woohoo!
Well, that's good. Well, yeah. People can
it'll
certainly
make people
check
very
that
happy.
Out.
Yeah,
it's been great talking to you today. We're going to play something from the album, and you get to choose. What are we going to play?
Oh, now here we go.
Crap. Well, here are my 5 favorites. You can pick one of these. All right, not in any particular order. We got The Town Where You Lived. We got We Are All Running, All the Hours, You Lead, I Will Follow, and Fool for You. So if you want to pick one of those, and Nameless Murders. Oh, crap, I like them all.
Play,
everyone.
Play him an original one, Jen. Play him an original.
You know what? Do We Are All Running.
Okay.
Yeah. That one is, our lives in the last few years have been connected a lot to fate in our minds. And a lot of really amazing things have happened for us in the last few years. That makes us look at fate a lot different and makes us actually believe that maybe it actually exists. So, you know, the whole passenger thing, dude giving us money, just being in the right place at the right time, just so many fabulous things have happened for us. So we're all running the same race. Do you believe in fate? We're all running the same race. We're all going to the same place.
Keep going.
No.
Just do the whole, yeah.
The whole song. But, like, we are. We're all in this together. And there's something magical about how we've been living our lives in the last few years, and I feel more connected to everything. I feel like
the drums swell.
I know, it's so weird. And the guys are dancing around me, so I'm having a really hard time finishing the set.
We can't help it.
Yeah. We're going to play that just now. This is The Once from the album Departures, and We Are All Running. Remember, that album is on Network Records. Check out theonce.ca for more information.
Thanks, Jan, for having us.
It's been
awesome.
A pleasure. Phil Churchill, Geraldine Hollett, and Andrew Dale.
Do you believe in fate? That we've been traveling.